Chuck and Val and whoever's preaching. Hallelujah. You've had 4 weeks to write this sermon, Val. Father, we thank you for this wonderful couple, Lord, the leadership they bring to this congregation and their hearts for you. And Lord, we thank you that they've been blessed and rested over these 4 weeks and celebrated themselves and what you've done in their lives. And Lord, I pray now that as they bring the word, that the anointing and the power will fall and we would receive what comes from you. Our hearts would be open to receive the wisdom and the grace that comes from their words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's good to be home. Val loves this part. She just looks forward to any opportunity she has to share. So I'm just going to hand you this. And
It's not that I don't like sharing. My gifting is different. I feel more in worship than I do in thinking things through. You know, so it has been such a blessing to be away. And I guess I went thinking that this would be like a Sabbath, you know, like a rest. And I just want to go, you know, find a beach for 30 days and that's it. But, you know, God has different plans. And especially through Chuck, he's not a one that likes to just sort of stay. He likes to move. So it's been really good. The Lord knows what I need. I think I know what I need, but he knows. And Sabbath, I just heard recently, it means rest. But just this week, I heard it also means celebration. And I thought, this is good because we are celebrating 40 years together. And that was the reason for our time away. And it's been really good. It stretched me a little bit because I go with a mindset. But I found, too, that like a rest is not necessarily physical. I was thinking I needed a physical rest. But that's not what I needed. I needed maybe more mental rest. You know, there's emotional like times that you need to just rest because we've battled that once before. It was our emotions, it's all integrated, right? Sometimes your bodies need a rest too. So in my time away, I started in the book of Hebrews and I got to chapter 4 and it talks about a Sabbath rest. So I'm going to just go to Hebrews 4. Let us fear lest while promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he said, as I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. So kind of like learning what rest is, it's not that you don't work, which I found kind of unique because, you know, I just wanted to find a beach and do nothing. But rest in him is not about not working. It's about finding rest in the work. And that's sort of like a mental shift that I've had to make. And it's not the first time I've heard that, but it's good to pay attention to it, which probably I hadn't been doing. So that's been a discipline too, you know, in these last days, just to find rest in what I'm doing. Because it's easy to kind of stress, you know, you have things to do. And so now I'm trying to shift and find in that he's there. There's a rest in him. He's our Sabbath. And so one of the first things we did when we went away is we went to Washington. And that's where they had, Lou Engel had called this, you know, how he's a big prayer faster kind of guy. And he had called an Esther gathering, they called it, just to bring people together to repent for the sins of their nation in the States. And so we were in Washington, and I was so amazed from the beginning. Would it start 9 to 7 at night, 10 hours of worship, of speakers? But he was so present. I had never for 10 hours experienced his presence like manifest like that. This was amazing. And so as I started into the book of Hebrews the rest of the month, I went back to that and I thought, how do I do that again? You know, how do you find the rest? Even though, I mean, they didn't stop. It was like there was no break. They just did everything for 10 hours. There's just no break. But there was a rest. It was just amazing. So the verse that I want you to leave you with is verse 3 in Hebrews 4. It says, for we who have believed enter that rest. So that's the start. We need to believe. Okay, Chuck.
That works. She reminded me on an island that no other woman would do what she did in terms of walking this island, because I'm not content with just 5 hours of walking. And she reminded me, there's no other woman that would do this, Chuck. You know, so I am so grateful for Valerie. So we left, so the 10th of October, the 10th of November, so technically I'm still off. This is the month, so don't have high expectations for a long, lengthy sermon. But it really began before that. It began here, and it even began before here. But on the 6th of October, we celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. And right here, we were prayed for, blessed. It was just a beautiful morning, beautiful time. Song was written and sung to us, and it was just very, very sweet. I want to read a scripture, and then I'm going to show you some clips, because a picture is worth 1,000 words at least, and this might be worth several thousand. But I want to give you the title of my message and the message itself. And so here it is. It's not only the title, it's the message. And it's something I'm going to leave with you, and I'm going to leave with myself as we leave this place today. The scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll put it in just a little bit of context just so that I'm not just reading the verse, but it says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words." In verse 8 of chapter 5, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." And then it goes on. And you can read the whole chapter. Chapter 1 says, verse 1 says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." So if you want to underline anything, there's a couple things you can underline here right off the bat. It's that you are dearly loved children. We are dearly loved children. This is really probably the essence of what I want to share this morning, is all under the banner of this title and this verse that says, "Find out what pleases the Lord." Find out what pleases the Lord. So I'm going to begin with these three short clips. As I mentioned, our time started on October 6th. It really began on October 5th when we got to go to the Thousand Islands with Tito and his family and just had an amazing time together. And then on the 6th, we had our wedding anniversary. And on the 7th, we met together for something historical, something very precious. So we'll begin with that, and then we'll go to Washington. So just a few short clips that I took with my iPhone. As you'll see when I conclude my message, and Daniel, you'll see this as well, is that next week Daniel's going to be speaking. I'm going to be using his scripture at the end of my message, which speaks to something very, very precious that we're experiencing right now, that I'm experiencing, that many are experiencing right at this moment. So I'm doing this in two parts, okay? So that's what I'm saying by this. But let me get started. I want to talk about mercy. And you saw the clip there, the last clip, or the first clip, I guess, the second clip, on repentance and the emphasis on repentance. So I've been carrying something in my heart, as many people have, a burden for the world, a burden for all that's going on in the world. And many of us carry this burden, and we carry it before the Lord. And what happens is, as Bob really expressed beautifully this morning, is that when we get into a place where the atmosphere is different, when we get up higher and we get into a place of his presence, we see things differently. Everything is different. But I'm going to be completely honest with you, and I just take some risks here this morning, but I think it's okay to do that, because I want you to see something that I've seen that has really impacted me profoundly. So I carried this weight of the concerns that are going on in our world. We've carried them in our own nation with drag queen story hours and all the nonsense that has gone on across our land. And we have grieved for the children. A generation is being raised in this nonsense, in this darkness, in a dark place. And so we've carried that, and thank God for the intercessors within our nation, the roar that has gone forth from this nation, and that will continue to go forth. I believe that it's only just begun. It's only just begun. But we have carried this, and we've obviously, with an election going on in the States, I carried with me this burden that I had wanted to determine before the Lord that I would not want to wake up and be devastated by any news whatsoever. That I would not want to wake up in the morning after an election, using this as the prime example, and be devastated in any shape or form. But I wanted to live before the Lord in such a way that I recognized his kingship, that I recognized his reign, and that he is supreme over all the nations of the earth, and that he would be my focus the day before and the day after. Do you hear what I'm saying? So this was where my heart was at, and I was struggling to get to that place. And the Lord helped me with in 1 Samuel, and this will be more in the second part of the message than the first, but I'm going to give a little bit this morning from 1 Samuel. But it helped me because there they were asking for a king. You remember that, eh? They were asking for a king. Well, I learned a lot through 1 Samuel. I learned that the disappointment was not in kingship or having a king. In fact, the Bible has a lot of things to say about a righteous king, you know. But it lay in something more important. It lay in the hearts of God's people and the desire of the Lord to have a people belonging to the Lord, that he would have a people that belong to him, that are his by covenant, that are not looking to be like all the other nations of the earth. But there are a people that, in fact, in Exodus chapter 3, it says that they are a distinguished people. You know who has the most authority upon the planet right now? What body of, you know, giving it away, has the most authority on the earth right now? It's the church. I've really had a shift in my own experience and in my own thinking away from any ruler or any king or any political leader or anybody who exercises any kind of role in the world to the king who is king overall and who works powerfully through his church and will work powerfully in these days. In fact, there is more authority and more power in the people of God than there is in any world leader, any political party or anything like that. But this is what I want to emphasize, and this is my prayer. We crisscross the states a little bit. We have family in the United States. We spent at least 3 times in Pennsylvania, and I remember one day we were about to leave Pennsylvania into another state, and Valerie says, I want to spend one more night in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a swing state, so just stick with me for a little bit here. But I want another night in Pennsylvania, so we stayed just on the border. We were in Pennsylvania. My prayer has been for mercy. This is my prayer. This has been my prayer the entire time. And you heard it in that clip in Washington. It was a cry for mercy. Mercy means this. Mercy is getting what we do not deserve. We do not deserve. I prayed for mercy because of the unborn. I prayed for mercy because of over 300,000 children that have gone missing within the United States. I prayed for mercy because of Israel, who has lost most friends across the face of the earth. I prayed for mercy. This was my prayer. Mercy. God, give us mercy. And I believe he heard our prayer. Find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. I looked up this song. It's a beautiful song. It says, it's our confession, Lord, that we are weak, so very weak, but you are strong. And though we've nothing, Lord, to lay at your feet, we come to your feet and say, help us. Help us along. A broken heart and a contrite spirit you have yet to deny. Your heart of mercy beats with love's strong current. Let the river flow. By your spirit now, Lord, we cry, let your mercies fall from heaven. It says in Micah chapter 6, sorry, is it chapter 7? Looks like chapter 7. No, it is chapter 6. Yes, chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. We are a people called to love mercy. Because we are the recipients of mercy. We have all gotten what we do not deserve. We are recipients of mercy, and we're to love mercy. And I believe that we're living in a time right now. Washington was amazing. I'd never been in a prayer meeting, as Val said, like that before. It was nonstop for 10 hours. People fasting, praying, so there was we weren't breaking to eat or anything, and it was 10 hours of crying out to God together. And I believe, I got to tell you this story. And this goes to first, I got to tell you this story. This goes back to 1 Samuel. I told you I'd give you a little bit from 1 Samuel this morning, and then I'll give you the rest next time. So I'm walking around. I've got it. Let me see. 1 Samuel 14, verse 6. That's it, 14, 6. So I'm walking around, and I'm walking down the Washington Mall, and they have these Jumbotron screens paced all down the mall. But when you got furthest away from the stage and you began to get further away, there were at least 2 of these Jumbotrons that had no people or very few people on the grass in front of them. Okay? So here I am. I'm walking backwards from the stage, and I'm seeing this, and some disappointment begins to enter my heart, because what I wanted to see was I wanted to see that people couldn't get on to the Washington Mall. That they couldn't get on because it was so crowded. The people were there. It was called for 1 million women, Esthers and Mordecais, to gather together at such a time as this and pray. So here I am, and this disappointment just starts to enter my heart. I said, no. And something else rises up, and it's that everyone called of God was there that day. And then I learned not only were there 375,000 believers on that mall in Washington, D.C., there were 10 million people across the face of the earth in 50 nations that were praying at the same time. Isn't that powerful? And so I saw this scripture, and it spoke powerfully to my heart. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 7. It says, nothing can hinder the Lord. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Isn't that beautiful? Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. So it was an honor. And I know that those 10 million people, I know you were here, this city. I've yet to hear the reports of what took place in this city. But I know what took place in Kelowna. I know that across our nation and across the nations of the earth, people prayed. People pray. Find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. Last Sunday, we were in the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church in Brooklyn. This is another place where Val was stretched, because I never even discovered New York before. We kept walking in Brooklyn after this service. We kept walking and walking. And I wanted to go across the Brooklyn Bridge, and I wanted to keep going into it. So we went to a coffee shop, and we met this couple, and I said, is there anything more that way? Because Val's, you know, okay, it's time to start going back towards, you know, where we came from, you know. And I said, is there anything more that way? And they tell us, you know, oh, yes, it's the most beautiful view of Manhattan. And so we keep on walking. But then we are on our way back, and we meet this beautiful young couple, and we start talking to them, and we discover that they were in church that morning. That's their church, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. And I want to tell you why the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church is so important to me. We were there that morning, and I don't know who pastors that church right now. It's probably still, and I can never pronounce his name, Jim, but he's the founding pastor of that church, and he was speaking that morning when we went in, and historic church in Brooklyn, New York. And so we're in this service, and he's preaching. But what was meaningful, let me just tell you a little bit about him, and then I'll tell you why it was meaningful for us to be there. He cried out to God for a breakthrough. Many, many years ago, he went when there were only a few people in a little church that he was called to go to, and he began to desperately call out to God. And this is what happened. He said that God clearly revealed that that church was to be built on the foundation of prayer. Okay, here's our banner this morning. Find out what pleases the Lord, okay? Find out what pleases the Lord. So this church was founded or built on a foundation of prayer. Their main service is not on Sundays, it's during the week. I believe it used to be Tuesdays. I don't know when it is now. But many, many years ago, we were up in this room right back here behind this top wall here in the upper room up there, and we were praying. You've heard a lot of the story about my son, but we were up there praying, and we shared the story of Jim Cimbala's daughter, who was so far away from God, so, so far away from God. And he went to one of these prayer meetings. He's the pastor. He goes to one of these prayer meetings, and he's carrying this burden of his lost daughter. I mean, she is lost. She is lost. And he's carrying this burden, but he doesn't share it with the congregation. And somebody goes up and they say, Pastor, you know, like, and they confronted him, like, and this is a huge meeting, but they spoke with him and said, you know, we've heard and we want to pray. So he consented and they prayed. He said that room that they were in, that prayer meeting turned into a birthing room. It was like being in the maternity ward, you know, at a hospital, you know, with hundreds, maybe even thousands of women giving birth. It turned into a birthing room. And he went home that night and he told his wife, he said, if ever I believed we touched heaven, it was tonight. If ever I believe, and he said his daughter's name is, things are going to be okay, it's tonight. And it was within hours that that young lady stepped into the house. She just fell on her knees and she began to weep. And she says, Dad, I had a dream and I was falling into an abyss. I was just falling into this abyss. And God got a hold of her life. And through weeping and repentance and turning back to God, her life was transformed. And that gave us hope. It gave us hope. Find out what pleases the Lord. That meeting, that Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, they're known for the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, you know, which is fantastic. But they're known as a church that prays. A church that prays. So I wanted to share that with you, and I want to encourage you to find out what pleases the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, and this is where I'm actually going to conclude, and next time we're going to look at 1 Samuel more closely, but I want to go, well, no, first before I go there, let's stay in 1 Samuel just one more time. 1 Samuel chapter 12. There's so much in these chapters, but you know what is interesting, and this is really the heart of this portion in 1 Samuel. It's the heart of a people that asked for a king. It's the heart of what was going on with this people and why there was disappointment in the heart of God because they asked for a king. But if you go back into Deuteronomy, and we'll do that next time, you'll see that God had already, it was already, Moses anticipated, or God revealed to Moses that there would be a king, that he would have a king. And he gave instructions for the king and how the king should live, how humbly the king should live before the Lord. The king should live humbly before the Lord. And so they ask for a king. And this is the scripture I want to share. Just 1 Samuel 12:22. I'll read a few verses just, and we'll look at this more closely next time. But do not turn away. Verse 20, they're repentant over their actions. There's a connection made between them asking for a king and their rejection of the king. Do you see? I saw one t-shirt. I took lots of pictures of t-shirts. I could do a slideshow on shirts, you know, and all the sayings of here. I saw one and it was something like this: Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And underneath it says, Trump is my president. I just think there's something to this, you know, but listen to this. It says, let me read it in context. So they're repentant because they had reversed it, you know. The earthly king is our king, you know, and well, the Lord is, you know, and down there, right? They had reversed it. But it says here, through repentance, in verse 20 it starts, it says, do not be afraid, Samuel replied. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. Find out what pleases the Lord. The Lord was pleased to make you his own. The Lord was pleased to make us his own. What will distinguish us from all the other peoples on the face of the earth, Moses said, is it not your presence? Is it not your going with us? Will that not distinguish us from all the other peoples on the face of the earth? I tell you, there are people being raised up right now who are going to have more influence and more authority in the lives of world leaders than the world leaders themselves. That's happening right now. Godly people are having influence, given and appointed by the Lord to be in such a place and such places at such a time as this. And I'm going to conclude with that in a second. But here we go. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. I love that scripture because over in Peter talks about us being a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to the Lord, a people belonging, a people of God's own possession. It's pretty rich. It's pretty powerful. I mean, my highest title, you know, is not reverend, you know, like a friend of mine, he gets up, he says they call him reverend, but he's not, you know, like, you know, it's not reverend. It's son. My goodness, it's a daughter, you know, that's the highest title. So here's my conclusions. Romans 12, chapter 1, and Daniel, feel free to pick up on this because this is your book's all about this. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, listen to this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the mercy of God, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. I hitchhiked. I was a hitchhiker way back in the day, you know, when hitchhiking was popular. I had the time of my life. I'll tell you, I was a believer. I was not quiet about Jesus. You know, I'd get in the car. In Manitoba, I walked more than in any other province as I went across Canada, you know. And all these cars are coming by. Friendly Manitoba, you know. then I got picked up, you know, and I got picked up by this guy in Manitoba, and he was on his way home from the dentist. He had just been to the dentist, and he said, "Do you want to come over for supper?" And so I went over for supper. His wife had prepared this beautiful meal he couldn't eat because he, you know, just had dental work, but I got to eat this meal. They offered, you know, for me to stay overnight and so forth, you know, but I was anxious to get on to Alberta where I was headed, so he took me back out to the highway. But, you know, it was quite an experience, you know, and I have only good things to say about Manitoba, okay? Let me just make that clear. But, you know, our license plate, Ontario, is called Yours to Discover. And I want to say to you this morning in conclusion, and I say this first to myself because I'm so excited in my spirit. I really am excited about this hour in which we're living in, but that there are fresh mantles and fresh appointments and fresh assignments that God is giving out. And we need to find out what pleases the Lord. Our Ontario plate says, yours to discover, you know, find out what pleases the Lord. This is yours to discover. To find out what pleases the Lord, it's yours to discover. It's yours to discover what God has uniquely qualified you for, what he has uniquely prepared you for such an hour as this. I love what's happening Thursday night. I heard about it when I was away. I love Mark and Kwanda. I love their hearts. They'll share more about this newness. They don't even know what it means, what new means. None of us know what new means. But in their little blurb, they talked about the pursuit of his presence. And it doesn't get any better than the pursuit of his presence. We want to be a people distinguished from all the other people on the earth by his presence, by his presence. And now we're going to conclude with the worship team coming up. And this is going to be what I like to call a song of surrender. I love the prayer of surrender. I have seen over my lifetime, over the years that I've been a Christian, I have seen over and over again people's lives transformed by the prayer of surrender. I've seen them absolutely transformed. There was a couple in our church, and he wasn't coming to church, and she was coming to church, and then they started coming a little bit together, but then they were alone, and they got down on their knees, and they surrendered to Jesus, and their life went on this amazing adventure and journey that was incredible, but it started with the prayer of surrender. This author, I want to tell you the author of this hymn we're about to listen to. I want to give you the context because I also believe that this is something that we're going to see more of. And as we ask this question, what is it? Find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. We're asking that question as a congregation. So we're not just asking it as individuals. We're asking it here at the Western Gate, here at this big old stinking warehouse, okay? If I can call it that, okay? Because it is a warehouse. We're the house of God, brothers and sisters. When we assemble the Bible, and you can challenge me on that, but you will not find anywhere else that describes the house of God other than the people of God who come together and it becomes the house. It becomes the house of God. And so we're asking the question, Lord, we want to find out what pleases you. What pleases you? What is it moving forward that pleases you? This hymn was written by Robert Robinson. He entered the world in 1735. He had a really rough beginning. His father died when he was 8 years old. He had to go to work. He yearned for an education, to be educated, but he was forced to go to work and earn money. And then one day he had gotten in with a gang of people and he was running with this gang. And in 1752, this gang decided to disrupt a tent meeting. They decided to go and disrupt this Methodist tent meeting whose preacher that day was none other than George Whitefield. And George Whitefield was preaching a powerful message, and it was from Matthew 3, verse 7. It says, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" This is what I want to say, I believe really strongly, is that we are going to see a harvest. We're going to see an in-gathering. And I love this place a lot. This is like a family. And there's a DNA here that's been here from its inception. And God has placed it here. And he's going to bring new members of the family here. And we're going to welcome those members. We're going to welcome them. And that's going to happen all over. Because this is what God is doing. And he's going to use each and every one of us. So as you listen to these words, and when he heard these words, they sunk deeply into his heart. And a transformation began. It says, I just want to read this one part. Robert Robinson found what he described as full and free forgiveness through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He found full and free forgiveness. Full and free forgiveness. You got to love that. You got to love that. If you've never experienced it, you can experience it right now. Full and free forgiveness. Where the scrubber goes to work inside our hearts and we feel clean for the first time. Because he forgives every sin. All the guilt, all the shame, It goes in Jesus' name. It goes through the blood of Jesus. The transformation is complete. It's beautiful. And it's actually more recognized in those that have some acknowledgement of what's there, you know. It's you know, and see a difference and understand that the power of his transforming power. So this is our prayer. This is our prayer. Scott, lead us. Team, lead us. And this is your prayer of surrender. This is between you and the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. Amen.